Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you once again. You're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, MD Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue to lift up the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to praise Him because He is worthy to be praised and to be magnified. God's glory and His honor is all due to Him. We owe all of the honor and the glory to God for everything that He does to us, for us and through us. So tonight we want to say thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, your grace. And we want to encourage you to know that whatever you're lacking, it's all in the hands of God. God can supply all of our needs according to His riches and glory. And tonight we're dealing with the subject, where is your wealth? Where is your wealth? Where is your wealth? And that's the subject that we're going to be dealing with. Again, we want to encourage you to study the Word of God. Take time out to read the Scriptures and to get familiar with the chapters, get familiar with the books of the Bible, get familiar with what it says. If you would take time out, you can finish the entire Bible in a year by just three chapters a day. That will take you to the very end of the year. If you are a little bit more aggressive reader, you can read 10 chapters a day and you can finish the entire Bible in 4 months. That's a good plan as well, to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Could be a very powerful goal for this year, if you will take that time out to do this. I want to also say to you that we're approaching our fifth year being on Blog Talk Radio, and we just want to encourage you, to let you know that you can always tell a friend, tell somebody else, and invite them to listen in, also to encourage them to take time out to go through the archives, and we have so many messages on in the archives now that really, if we're doing any shows, there will be enough shows in the archives for a long time to just continue to look at those. But God's Word is always new and fresh every time, and we try to bring different messages from different perspectives in the Word of God to give you a solid foundation, because the more and more we study, the more and more we teach the Word of God, and the more you learn the Word of God, when the enemy comes up against you, you'll have something to fight back with. But so oftentimes we don't study for ourselves. We just wait until we get to church and we listen to the preacher. But it's a good thing to have a plan on how to study, a plan on how to extract from the Word of God. And we've got lessons in the archives regarding how to study the Bible. And you can look back on those chapters, those subjects, and extract from them what you can. Tonight, again, we're dealing on the subject, where is your wealth? And we're going to deal with that subject. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for one more time giving us this chance to come on Blog Talk Radio, to use this platform to preach and teach the Word of God, to allow your children to extract and hear the words from the Bible, and to take notes and put them in their notes so that they will be able to go back and reflect upon them. Lord, we pray for the day that you will so store your word in our hearts and our minds that we will not sin against you. We pray that you would store your word in our hearts and minds so much so that we will be able to retain and to recall those things that you have placed in our spirits. And so we ask tonight that the Holy Spirit will come and teach us tonight. Deliver us, give us encouragement, bring us to the place where we are at your altar, that we may lay before your presence, that we may receive everything that you have for us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is your wealth? Well, when you look at the accumulation of wealth or the increase of wealth, so oftentimes there are many who start off with very little, and to some there is absolutely nothing at all. And you heard the stories from rags to riches, and we see stories in the media. We hear of people who have overcome various different problems and situations in their life only to accumulate a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of an experience, a wealth is as it is in prosperity. And so when we look at the Word of God, several different words that denote that there is an increase in our life, or there is prosperity, or there is wealth that is in our scope. And so we're going to look at some of the things that God has said in regards to wealth. We're going to look at some examples of people who were wealthy in the Word of God. And then we're going to come with a conclusion of how does that fit in with us, and where is our wealth? Where is our wealth? Over in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 3, under the church of Laodicea, in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodicea write, these things said the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." Everything that was created by the Lord Jesus Christ, and without him there was not anything that was created that was made. So all of creation came as a result of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Before the foundation of the world, it was he who was the acting voice, that was the Word that was made flesh, that dwelt among us. He was the Word, the eternal Word of God that was in the beginning, that spoke, and it came forth. He commanded it, and it stood fast. So here we find that in this text it says, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. He says, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And then this is the reason that it's given, because of their works. He says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." So here, their true condition was that they were increased with goods. They were rich. And this is how it will be in the last days, that there are people who have accumulated wealth. They have been increased with stuff. They've got some goods going to their house, and there is so much stuff in it that they've accumulated over time. Precious statues and pictures and all sorts of artifacts all in their house, and they have increased themselves with goods, and they are at the point in their life where they have need of nothing. In fact, the thing is so strong that we don't even need God. We don't need God to do anything for us. He can't help us because we got a whole lot of stuff that's already available to us. We can just go to the cupboard, and we've had almost a store in our home. Our barns are running over, and we've done all of this for ourselves. We've accumulated wealth. And Jesus is saying, to this church, you are not cold or hot. spiritually, you're not hot, you're not cold, you're lukewarm, and you're a bad taste in my mouth, and I would that you were either cold or hot. Because you're straddling the fence, because you are look like you are on my side, but behind closed doors, far away from me, and so people cannot tell whose side you're on, and because of that, you are a bad taste in my mouth. You are a bad reflection of who I am, and so therefore, it bothers me that you are neither cold or hot. I would that you were either cold or hot, because if you were, then at least somebody would know whose side you're on. And then he says in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Wait a minute. He says that in verse 17 that you're already rich and you're increased with goods. But in verse 18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. Then he's going to clarify this richness that he is speaking of, because you're rich with things, but things do not provide you substance, spiritual substance that makes a difference, that matters in your life. And so he says to him, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, and that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. So their problem was with they were spiritually blind. They could not see, and even though they wore the finest of clothes, they were still, in the eyes of God, naked before clothed with white raiment. I need you to be clothed, and I need to open your eyes with eye salve so that you can see. You can see. And so the true condition of their hearts was so far from God that God had to put it in a way help us to understand that we are blind, we are wretched, we're naked, we don't have all of the things that we need on a spiritual sense. Yes, we've got some riches that are the accumulation of this world's riches, but we're not rich toward God. Over in the book of Luke, the 16th chapter, is an example of a young man who Christ says, he talks about the rich man and Lazarus. And he says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, in verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. And he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So oftentimes, when we are rich, we oftentimes lose compassion for those who are in need, especially when we have a selfish heart. When our hearts are so far and distant from God, we tend to operate, if you will, in a way that is contrary to the will of God, and so we find ourselves operating in this mindset that all of my stuff is my stuff, it belongs to me, and therefore I don't have to share it with anybody because it's my stuff. I did this. I accumulated this. A person gets beside themselves, and that's the only thing that they can look at is what's my stuff. And they tend to spend a whole lot of time guarding and securing their stuff. So we're here, and we're looking at this thing. Where is your wealth? Where is your wealth? Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 15 about the lost sheep, the lost corn, and the lost son. He realized that when he came to himself, that he was going to go back to his father's house, because in his father's house had wealth. The father had servants, and his servants were doing very well. And this rich young man, he wanted to get back to that place where his father could take care of him, and he knew that if he went back home, he would have the very things that he needed. So, and over in the book of Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable of the rich fool who also was filled with covetousness. His heart was filled with covetousness that he could only think about tearing down his old barns and building up new barns so that he could have some stuff laid up for many years, and he was going to take his ease and all of that. But God has a different way of looking at us in our wealth accumulation. Sometimes we tend to focus so much on gaining that we lose perspective. And so over in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, Proverbs the 19th chapter, we find a very interesting verse of scripture. It says, "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor." The Bible tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love people. God wants you to help and to do for your neighbor. If you see somebody in need, God wants you that he has provided for blessings, that you might take it and utilize it to help others. He says, "Wealth maketh many friends." There are some people who will become your friend because of what you have, what you possess, your goods. And God wants us to be in a position, people come to us, they're not coming just because of what they can get out of us, not just for the wealth. If the only thing that you can offer to people is your stuff or some particular good, but you cannot attach it with some wisdom that you want to impart to them. Long ago, they used to have a saying, "You give a man a fish and you will feed him for a day. But if you teach him how to fish, then you will feed him for a lifetime." And so God wants to teach us how to experience wealth on a lifetime basis. But he wants us to have a perspective, not according to some of the ways of the world. In Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs the 13th chapter, and verse number 11, it says, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." Once again, he says, "Wealth gotten by vanity." If you're getting wealth by dishonesty, that wealth is going to be diminished. That's the voice of God speaking and saying that if you're trying to get wealth by some dishonest way or some kind of scheme or scam, it may appear that you're going to increase, and you may, you know, make a whole lot of money, you know, for a little while. But that accumulation that you have a gain is going to soon diminish. And he says that, "But he that gathereth by labor shall increase." In other words, there is a value in labor. There is a value that God can honor for what you do in the area of labor. When you experience wealth through labor, And that could be labor in the sense that, hey, I have utilized the gift and the talent that God has given me, and the gift that I've gotten from God has given me the ability to get increase. It has given me room. My gift has made room for me. It has opened up an opportunity, a door, a skill, some training that you have received, and you labor, and all of a sudden God opens a door. He doors for you. He provides favor on your behalf. Then he says, all of that is a good way, if you will, to gain wealth. But if you are doing it through dishonesty, you can expect that that wealth is not going to last long. It's going to be diminished. And over in the book of Psalms chapter 49, we're looking at verse number 6. And it says, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can be by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. And verse 10, it says, for he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. So here, if you work all of your life and you're trusting in your wealth, this is a bad thing to do, is to allow yourself to trust in your wealth. In other words, you take your eyes off of God and you begin to fixate yourself upon the things that you have accumulated, so much so that it becomes like a god to you. Your wealth becomes a god for you. You go to your wealth and you say, whatever I need, I've got it. You start looking at your possessions, and the Bible says that a man's life shall not consist of the things, of the abundance of the things that he has. But what's more valued in your life is that you increase your life also in the area of spirituality. So oftentimes there is this imbalance, and God says that a false balance is an abomination unto me. There are many who have the false balance, and you can work all your life trying to accumulate wealth, and you do it through dishonesty and schemes and scams, and God says in this verse that you're going to leave your wealth to others. You're not going to be able to take it with you. You're going to die. And soon and very soon, your wealth is going to diminish. It got it so that you get your wealth in a honorable and righteous way. Then he can attach his blessings to it. But when you do it in a false way, then it does not hold its value over time. Proverbs the fifth chapter, gives us some counsel, and he's talking about immorality. He's talking about integrity. He's talking about a whole lot of things he talks about a woman and how that the woman can lead you down a pathway that you're going to regret. And this woman also represents a spiritual immorality that takes place in a man's heart. Oftentimes when a person is drawn away through a desire to have or accumulate wealth or accumulate stuff, it's like he's married to the stuff. He's like, he has a passion so much that's so strong for stuff that he leaves the way in the pathway of God. And God says, in verse 8, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest you give thy honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. and thou mourn at last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instructions, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. So here, again, Proverbs is trying to let us know that we've got to remove ourselves from the pathway of gaining wealth through a false sense of trusting in it, or a false sense of allowing it to lead and guide our intentions that's in our hearts. We've got to get to the place where we are not spending our time so caught up in the accumulation of wealth that we forget about the God who gives you wealth. In Job chapter 21, Job the 21st chapter, and looking at verse number 3, verse 13, excuse me, he says, they spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. They spend their days in wealth, and in a moment go down to the grave. There are people who spend their whole entire life trying to get ahead, trying to accumulate things. I want a big house. I want a bigger house. I want a big car. I want a bigger car. I want the a closet full of suits, and I want more suits, and I want more, 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 and that, and they can never satisfy their thirst to have more. And so they spend all of their days trying to get things and accumulate things, only to discover that death is knocking at the door. And now all of the things that they have labored for so many years, it is about to be given to someone else, because you cannot take it with you. You cannot trust in your wealth. You should not trust in your wealth, because it will spoil your heart. Your heart will be soiled through the sinfulness of trying to accumulate riches. In Psalms chapter 62, Psalms the 62nd chapter, and verse number 10, Psalm 62 and verse 10, it says, trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. There are sometimes, again, here we go, we accumulate and we increase in riches, and there's a warning here that says, do not set your heart upon them. The Bible tells us that where your treasure is, that where your there will your heart be, and you don't want to get your heart tied up into your riches. Then you will be falling in the category of what Christ counseled the Laodicean church, that you are increased with goods, and you say in your heart you have need of nothing. It's all about my money, my wealth. This is the thing that has made me to be who I am. I'm a self-made millionaire. I pull myself up from the dust of the ground, and look at me now. Look where I have come. I've arrived. And over in the book of Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs the 13th chapter, and again looking at verse number 22, it says, a good man leaveth an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. So here is a very, very powerful thing. It says, a good man. If you are a good man, then you're going to leave an inheritance to your children's children. It's going to go to the third generation. It's going to go to the grandkids, that your wealth that you have increased in because of the anointing of God being upon your life, and because you understand how to properly increase through labor, you are going to leave and lay up something or your children's children, because it is their inheritance that they are going to receive from you. A good father will leave an inheritance for his children's children. And so God wants us to put a whole lot of things in perspective. Again, he says that if you increase by labor, you're going to enjoy this fruit. You're going to enjoy the wealth even better when you know that you haven't tricked anybody, you haven't scammed anybody. You can sleep good knowing that you've done an excellent job, that you've done something to help someone. And then over in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it says, "There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. A man to whom God had given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanted nothing for his soul of all that he desired, yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease." So here Solomon declared that this sickness that we have to accumulate things in a foul and vain way, when we operate in that method, that mythology, and that mindset, it's when we lay our hearts upon treasure and we're not rich toward God, we begin to feel like that we don't have a need for God, because all of our stuff takes care of us. All of the things that we accumulate, it has taken care of us. And it says, "And yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease." So God serves us a warning that if you're operating on that mindset and that method, you're going to get to the place where your wealth is going to diminish. It's going to be given to somebody else because of the fact that your attitude about wealth is not right. And so he says that you and I are going to experience our wealth being diminished when we operate on that level and that mindset of thinking. Way back in, let's go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 5 before we go there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19. Watch this. You got to see this. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 19, he says, "Every man also to whom God had given riches and wealth and had given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." When God gives you riches and wealth and had given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion, you are only going to take enough to satisfy your personal self. It's a portion that God has given to you. Way back in the book of Genesis, God tried the children of Israel in the wilderness by feeding them manna, and he gave them only a certain amount, and it was not going to, they were not instructed to gather more than they needed. They were only to gather the things that they could use for themselves and their family, and if they tried to lay up anything overnight, it would turn to wormwood. And so here God is trying to help us to understand that don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doeth corrupt, and thieves break through and steal. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, nor thieves break through and steal. Balance that God is trying to help us to understand that, yes, God doesn't mind us having wealth and riches, but if we have done it through manipulation, through scamming, through scheming, God says, I'm not in that, but I am in it. I rejoice with those who in labor accumulate riches and wealth, because he says, this is the gift of God. God has granted us a gift, this gift of God to accumulate through labor wealth and riches. Solomon says to us in 6 that when we do it in a vain way, then even the stuff that we've accumulated, God won't even allow you to eat from it because you use it strange way. You've used it in a way that is only for yourself and to yourself. Psalms chapter 112, Psalms 112 and verse number 1 through 3. I like this chapter, and I like these verses here, because it's in these verses that we come to gain a perspective of what God is wanting. In Psalms chapter 112, verses 1 through 3, he says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth, the generations of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endured forever. So here again is the contrast that God is trying to help us to see, that there is a wrong way to gain wealth and riches, and there is a right way to gain wealth and riches. And it's tied up, he says, with praise ye the Lord. Oftentimes when we recognize that God is our source of everything that we need, and we honor him by giving him praise. And he says to us that blessed is the man that feareth the Lord. Here is the first counsel that we can receive, is that one of the things is that we praise God. We praise the Lord, and the Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. God will take up habitation with you. He will come to your residence, and he will knock on your door, and if you invite him in, he will come in and sup with you. He will fellowship with you. He will sit down at your table and eat with you. He will cause you even to eat your stuff in the presence of your enemy, and none of them will be able to do anything to you, because the Lord's hand is upon you, because you have acknowledged him, you have given him honor, you have praised him. He says, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commandments. Your delight will be in obedience to God. God cannot help but bless you, because you are operating tandem with his will, his purpose, his plan. God wants you to have riches, and he wants you to have wealth, but he wants you to have it with an acknowledgement of the fact that he is the one who's giving you this. If you don't believe it, let's go a little further. In fact, in verse 2, it says, and his seed shall be mighty upon earth. Even when he says that a good man will leave an inheritance to his children's children, that's talking about your seed. That's talking about the people that's coming after you. Your wealth will be so much so that you'll have some to leave to the next two generations. Your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. So you're passing along a generational blessing that continues to move forward into the third and fourth generation, because you are going to teach your children the proper perspective, the accumulation of wealth. It all comes from God. It starts with God. And if you put God and you delight in his commandments, you delight to do the will of God above everything else, then you have a proper perspective of wealth and riches. And it is this thing that God will pour out upon you and cause you to be a blessing to the second and third generation. He says, wealth and riches shall be in his house. You're going to have wealth and riches in your house. And his righteousness endureth forever. And notice that the proper perspective is that righteousness is going to, he says, endure forever. So you have put forth a legacy that continues forever and ever throughout your generations of children, and your seed that's coming after you. They will follow in your footsteps, your pathway, because you've set such a great example for them. They will remember that Grandpa was able to bless them for generations to come. And so this is how God had always desired it to be. And over in Deuteronomy the 8th chapter, we've read this text before on our broadcast, and it's worth reading it again because it's so powerful that it demands from us a response. God tells the children of Israel in verse 11, he says, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, that's in verse 12 of Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of the flint. So God says, look, I brought you through the wilderness, and in that place were scorpions. There were fiery serpents. There were all sorts of wild things, and God even protected them in the wilderness, in the desert, where all of these things could have attacked them, but no report was given that they were attacked by these things, because God led them all the way through the wilderness. He protected them even in the desert, in the wilderness. He provided for them. He made provisions for them. He gave them bread from heaven. He gave them water out of the flint of the rock. I don't know if you understand the depth of that, but, you know, the flint of the rock is a very thin rock. A flint rock is very thin. And God calls water to come out of the flint of the rock, which means the miracle is so much greater, because it had the water come out of a big the side of the mountain, then it would not have been a big thing. But God took a flint of a rock and allowed water to come gushing out of the flint of the rock, so much so that the people had to know that it was God's provision that brought forth the water, because there is no way that water could come out of a flint of a rock. But there is nothing impossible with God. There is nothing too hard for God. And then he goes on in verse 16, he says, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. So God says that, look, I brought you through some tough times, some stressful situations, some times when you didn't know you were going to make it through. I brought you through all of that so that I may prove you. I needed to prove you. I needed to show you that if you humble yourself before me, then I'm going to exalt you. Do you know that God wants to put you in place and put you in position where he will highly exalt you? But you can't get there until you allow yourself to be humble before God. Where is your wealth is our subject tonight. Could it be that you are a person who is standing in the way of your accumulation of wealth because of your disobedience? because of the fact that you will not allow God to lead in your life, that you are trying to do it by some kind of a scheme or scam or manipulation, or you're trying to get over some kind of way? Could it be that this is the thing that is holding up your wealth? Then he goes on to tell us in verse 17, "And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth." There are times when people get beside themselves, just like Nebuchadnezzar, who walked about the palace saying, is not this great Babylon that I have made? And I said, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't have but one more time to say that, and I'm going to cause you to go out there and eat grass like the oxen, and you're going to, and seven times is going to pass over you, 7 years is going to pass over you, and you're going to look like a wild thing out in the wilderness, because you have forgotten God. Could it be that you have put yourself in a position of striving so hard to get stuff and get things that you have forgotten God? And if so, will you return unto him? Because he tells us in verse 18, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." So God's promise is that I have promised that I will bless you. I will bless your going out and your coming in. I will cause you to be the head and not the tail, the first and not the last. I will cause you to be above only. You'll eat the good of the land. But you must not forget that I am the one who gives you power to get wealth. You must not forget to keep the commandments of God and his judgments and his statutes, which he had commanded you to do this day. He says, you cannot forsake obedience to me and expect to have wealth and riches. Even if you do accumulate wealth and riches without understanding and knowing and forgetting my commandments and forgetting me, your riches and your stuff is only going to last temporarily, and it's going to be taken away from you and given to someone else. But if you do it right, he says, guess what? I don't add any sorrow to the blessings I give to you. I don't add no sorrow to it. God doesn't add any sorrow to the blessings that he gives us. Over in the book of Job, the 21st chapter, and Job is one of those examples how God blesses a man who is faithful, a man who holds fast his integrity with God. God can promote us. He can exalt us. He can take us to the place where we need to be, even when we go through some situations in our life that we cannot explain, that our friends don't understand, nobody seems to know why we're going through what we're going through. I thought you was a child of God. Why are you going through so much stuff? Well, I want you to know that even though you may be going through a lot of stuff, the hand of God is still upon your life. And Job had this perspective that though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job had a determined mind that I'm going to still hold fast the integrity of my heart. I'm not going to let this trial or this trouble or this situation get me or keep me away from the God who I know and have come to know that has given me all of what I have. And I've used the resources that he has given me to bless others. And so he picks up in Job chapter 31, Job the 31st chapter, in verse 21, he says, "If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate. Then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and my arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because my hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, and my heart had been secretly enticed, or my mouth had kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. So Job says that, look, if I've done anything outside of the will and the purpose of God, then I deserve the punishment that I'm receiving. If I have failed to be a man to the fatherless and I've not helped them in the gate, then he says, let my arm fall from the shoulder blade and my arm be broken to the bone. If I've withheld anything, or did anything to not bless somebody, Job said, then, okay, hey, look, I can accept this thing. But if I said in my heart, my goal and my hope, that my goal has, I have made goal my hope. He says, if I made goal my hope and find goal, he says, that thou art my confidence. So Job says, if I've turned my attention away from God and I began to trust in these things, and I said, these things are my confidence, Then hey, look, I deserve what I'm going through because of that, with my trouble, if I've done any of those things. But when Job had searched the heart, he could not recount any time that he had done any of those things, because he was always in the gate searching and looking for how he could bless people. I want you to know that when you truly have a converted heart to God and you are obedient to God, you will seek to bless others. You will go out of your way to find people to be a blessing to them. And that's how Job was. He didn't just sit up on his wealth. He took his wealth to the place where he could bless somebody, because he understood that it was God who gave him the power to get wealth, that all that I have, it belongs to God. All that I have accumulated came from God. And so I will use the resources that God has placed in my fingertips to be a blessing to all of those that are around me, that there will not be anybody that will not be blessed who is residing in my gates. If they are in the arm's reach of me, I will go out and find them and make sure that I bless them. That's how Job was. And God wants us to have an attitude like Job, that when he blesses us with what he gives us, that we will go out and we will seek other people to bless them. Whether we bless them with knowledge, with wisdom and understanding on how to accumulate wealth, and to understand that God is the one, first of all, who gives you the power to get wealth, who gives you talents, who gives you gifts. He opens up doors for you. He grants to you favor, and it's through labor. He says it's a gift. It's through this labor that you will get increase, and God will increase you, and you're going to have accumulation. So over in Second Chronicles chapter 1, and we're about to wrap it up, and I just want to encourage you that your wealth could be tied up. It could be kept back from you because you don't have the proper perspective of wealth. And so God cannot fully trust us many times with wealth, because we would probably lose our souls. And so over in Second Chronicles chapter 1 and verse 11 and 12, it's a beautiful thing that God says to Solomon. Solomon is an example that we want to pluck out of the scripture. He says, and God said unto Solomon, because this was in thy heart, and thou hast not asked riches, wealth, or honor, nor the life of thine enemies, neither yet has asked long life, but has asked wisdom and knowledge for thyself, that thou mayest judge my people over whom I have made thee king. Wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any have the like. So God puts Solomon in a position where he gives him wealth and riches and knowledge and wisdom, and he brings him to honor with all of the things that he has given to Solomon. And Solomon didn't ask for those things, but God granted to him these things because of the fact that he had a proper perspective about what God would have him to do. Over in Psalms, the 66th chapter, and looking at verse number 12, 66 and verse 12 says, thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Do you know that God will bring you into a wealthy place when you go through some trials and tribulations? If you can hold fast, God will take you to a wealthy place. He'll take you to a place where he will bless you and he will honor you and he will bring you to a blessing that you won't have a room enough to receive. You have to give something away. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 6 and 7 of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He says, I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered it, but God that giveth the increase. If you're going to get increase, if you're going to increase, know this, that whatever you're planting, it is God who, whatever you're watering or planting, God is the one who brings that thing to increase. And when you have that perspective that God, I'm going to do my part, I'm going to labor and do the things that you've called me to do, then God says, I'll give you, I'll make that happen for you. 1 Thessalonians, the third chapter, 1 Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter, and verse number 12, verse number 12 of 3 says, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward all men, even as we do toward you. God wants us to increase and abound in love, because if we allow God's leading in our lives, we're going to do the right thing. We're going to have wealth in the proper perspective. So where is your wealth? Your wealth is tied up in God. If you want something, you want to increase your wealth, go increase your experience in God. And watch God be a blessing to you and your household, to your generation, and the third and fourth generation. He'll take blessings that your seed will be mighty in the earth, that your generation will be mighty because of the blessings that you have passed on to them. God wants to do it for you. He's inviting you to take hold and be a part of him. If you do that, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 19 is my final text. It says, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered and knit together, increase it with the increase of God. God has tied us. He's connected us to did us in a way that he wants us to understand that he's put us here to bless others. And if we would put ourselves in the hand of God, God will cause us to increase in the wealth. The true wealth, the true riches of life will be poured upon you, and you'll be able to bless others. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that our wealth that you have with you, that you have available to us, your good treasure that you want to open up to us, Help us to understand, O Lord, that it is through the obedience of following your word and walking in your pathway that you can then bless us, because there's nothing between us and our Savior. When our hearts are clear and pure of everything, that you can bless us even as we're growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can abound in love, and we will touch the lives of many, because we know that you are the one that gives us power to get wealth. Help us to understand that perspective and always seek you first, the kingdom of heaven, and then all of those other things will be added to us. Help us to understand that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, my friends. Have a great night. Thank you for tuning in.